rifling through those long boxes.
It's gotta be here. Aha! Here it is!
And bagging those books.
I'm out of bags and boards again.
Welcome to your home for Star Wars comics.
The Cosmic Force Podcast.
A Youtini Podcast Network production.
And now, here are your hosts, Parker Kirk, Caleb Laminek, and Jacob Bosch.
Hello and welcome to The Cosmic Force, a weekly breakdown of the latest in Star Wars comics, brought to you by the Youtini Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jacob, joined by my good friends Oz and Caleb. This week we're diving in on Star Wars 45, as well as, is this the end of this era of Star Wars comics? And we're going to give you our in-depth breakdown and analysis to all of this. Just a reminder, this episode of The Cosmic Force is brought to you by the brand new Youtini show. Join our good old friends Eric, Wes, Corey, and Charles as they reunite. And yeah, check out the Youtini show up every Monday. All right, guys, we're back another week. We have a great issue of Star Wars comics as well as some fun speculation. Should be a good time. Oz and Caleb, how are you doing?
Pretty good, actually. A couple exciting things I've started reading. I finally finished off a chain around my neck media-wise, but we'll get into that in a bit. But I'm actually like really excited for this episode.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I think Caleb and I are both pretty excited because we will actually be seeing each other in person tomorrow, along with a bunch of other Star Wars buds from Youtini and elsewhere. We're meeting up in Charlotte, so that's going to be a good time, I think. Or it'll be chaos. You never know what's going to happen when you meet people that you've only known over the internet.
Well, likely a bit of both.
Yeah. Caleb and I have not met in person. I've met several of these people at Celebration a couple years ago, so it'll be fun. We're going to, I'm sure, do plenty of Star Wars stuff, but for now, we got some comics to talk about.
For sure. We're going to talk, I've kind of mentioned already that we're going to talk a bit about the future Star Wars comics, but there are some other news things we want to hit really quickly. One, we got our first preview of the Nubs, Young Jedi Adventures / High Republic Adventures free comic book day issue that'll be out on Free Comic Book Day, which this year is May the 4th. So that's over on StarWars.com. A really cool preview. It's of the Young Jedi Adventure kids, that whole crew, as well as Lula, Farzala, and Kort on Tanu. So it's a fun little cute issue. I'm sure it'll be great. And then also, we've been getting lots of trade paperback solicitations, and the first trade paperback for the High Republic, I believe, is issues 1-4. And in addition to those four issues, we already knew that was happening. We're also getting Acolyte number 1.
What?
Which is very interesting. I just based on the fact that it's listed as one, it could be a one shot. I lean towards it being a one shot. I don't think they'd be doing an adaptation or anything this quickly. And if it was more than a one shot, it doesn't make sense to put in a mini or not mini series in the High Republic main trade paperback. So
I would say it still doesn't make sense, but at least it's getting collected somewhere.
It's true.
Yeah, I know. Like, usually when they do these tie-ins and it's not like a direct adaptation, it's like usually Acolyte issue 0.
Yeah. I don't know if they really do.
They haven't done anymore,
but I feel like, yeah, for movies, they used to do like issue 0s sort of as a prequel, or sometimes they would do a 2-issue miniseries. I don't know if Marvel does that anymore. I do kind of miss the 0 and the issue 1/2, and then they kind of went off the rails with the .1 thing.
I need to issue a quick correction. This is actually volume 2 of the High Republic comic trade paperback. So this is 5-8. So again, only 4 issues, which sucks. And then the 1 of the Acolyte. So the trade paperback will be out in November. So sometime between now and November, probably this summer, we're getting an Acolyte number 1. What that will be, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I got to imagine it's some kind of just almost nothing prelude prequel thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it is wild. It is the first, it's definitely the first show that's gotten any sort of thing like this.
Any tie-in. Yeah, anything that is not an original story. Again, assuming that's what it is, which...
Yeah, I don't think we've even had any movies in the Disney era, unless you count like the C-3PO one shot or.
Yeah, I would say. Because like Phasma is technically a tie into The Last Jedi.
Yeah, which that was sort of in the gap. That
Allegiance and.
Oh, I definitely don't count that.
Shattered Empire. That's even farther out.
That's just comics that are about those characters. This is like a direct tie in, it seems.
Again, I was about to say, like, maybe it's just character introductions. Like, that's the only thing I can think of.
Definitely the first one with the, like I said, I would say Disney Plus era.
Yeah, it's definitely the first show. Like, we've obviously seen nothing of Andor, but usually when we get these tie-ins, they come after, or they're just totally unrelated. Like, Lando Double or Nothing, I think, came out before Solo, but it's like, not really related to the story of the movie. It's odd that this got kind of leaked almost through the trade paperback solicit and they still haven't announced it. So I still am weirdly in the camp that it's not real until we get something.
I mean, it was on Penguin Random House's website. It wasn't like it was, you know, Tifa or something like that.
Hey, there was supposed to be an IDW Grogu one shot.
Isn't there in Spain? Is that?
I don't know about that. I'll look into it later.
I think it's Spain that got it.
They announced all that Mando tie-in stuff that ended up not happening. So hopefully this one doesn't happen. But
yeah,
we find out more news.
I would guess probably either more news on May the 4th itself, maybe around the release of the show, or even San Diego Comic-Con, I think, is the first one of the major cons up the summer. So, who knows?
I'm excited about all the marketing push for The Acolyte, though. It seems like they're putting a lot into it. So,
yeah. Also, a little outside our normal wheelhouse, but they are doing, or apparently, allegedly doing a visual guide for The Acolyte as well. That's coming out, I think, in January of 25, something like that.
That's kind of comics. It's a art book, so
we can do whatever we want. You know, we run the show. But yeah, a lot of exciting stuff coming down the road. But things we're reading as of late, we can do this kind of quick. I was thinking about it, thinking I had not read anything, but I have read one thing today or this week, and that's the finally we got the Tales of Enlightenment collection of all the Phase 2 Insider stories, which I had read all of them. However, there's one original story that is at the end about it. This has already been like revealed before, but it's about Rupert, and she goes to the Tales of goes to Enlightenment itself. It's a very cute story. I like it. A nice little coda.
I did not realize it was about Rupert. That's cool.
Yeah, it's like a nice little like coda to, I would say, like all of Phase 2. I've trying to kind of grapple where I would recommend reading it. Because like, do you put it, because it's later in the timeline of her than her Tales of Light and Life story? Do you put it after that? Do you clump it with all the other short stories? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. You can read it whenever.
Yeah.
After you're done with books, just feel free. But it was a fun story.
Also,
so
just since Jacob mentioned it, go out and read Tales of Light and Life. I'm so gonna every time I can. It's Rupert's story is really cool, and then obviously A Closed Fist.
Closed Fist has no claws. Oh god, so good. And then I guess not reading, but I will have to. I need to shout it out that I have a reputation for being a, quote, enabler in Discord, or not Discord, well, also Discord, but also Slack, getting people to buy dumb toys and stuff like that with their money and collectibles. Well, I think I've gotten probably at least like half a dozen, if not more, people into Star Wars Unlimited, which is a new trading card game that's a lot of fun. They just revealed new cards actually today that Dr. Aphra is going to be in the second set of the
I did see that.
Second set of the game. I've got a lot of people hooked on that in Utini, which is scary because you can burn money on a trading card game, like hundreds of dollars down the drain. So have fun with that, y'all.
Make money, right? You can just sell the cards. They're not losing value.
When the game was coming out, I think, Jacob, you said you were going to get into it. And I was like, look, the theming looks cool. And I love deck builders, but I hate trading card games because like you said, it's a money sink. The other day I bought two starter packs, one for me and one for one of the other guys who's going to be in Charlotte with us because he was interested in playing, because I'm like, when you've got friends playing it, it's fun, you know. Yeah. And then it becomes a thing, but the problem is then it becomes a thing. So I have not played it over the table yet. I've played a little online just to get the hang of it. And yeah, I already texted Jacob to say he's an a-hole for convincing me to do this.
Yeah, I think the person that's most serious into it is actually show alum Tyler. It seems like he's still chilling in Discord. He seems like he is very deep into this game now. So, but hey, he plays it with his kids, so it all, you know, it's a family bonding experience.
Exactly.
In that case.
Do you play it, Caleb? Do you, or are you into it?
No, I don't play Magic the Gathering and trading card games in the same way I don't play golf.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, you, it sucks to spend money on something you're bad at. That's why I don't play golf.
And even worse, it's like, okay, so you have to, you spend all your money on it. And it's like, well, now I have to spend, like, set aside specific times. Like, well, Thursday night is my tee off time. So I have to, you know, then, like, make sure I add an extra thing to my schedule so I can go and have fun.
It's the exact same thing with this game. It's like, well, the official play, you know, I can go to my store on Saturdays so I can get some free bonus cards and stuff like that. So I have to, like, you know, set aside a couple hours on Saturday to do that. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so anyway, thank you for that. But, Caleb, what's the monkey you got off your back this week?
Well, I did finish off Wuthering Heights, and, you know.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. I needed that. It was, like, going back and reading some, like, analysis and all like that, I can see where some people would think that it was really good and had some really deep themings. And I think it is there. The themes are there. It's just I didn't ever bite into it because the main, like, it's, again, I hate using this excuse, but it's, but the main character was just an unredeemable jerk. And it's just like, it's like people are thinking, like, man, it's such a great love story. It's not. Like, the main guy's just an abusive dick. It's like,
is this a different book than the one you hated last week, or are you just still mad?
No, it's the same one.
It's the same one. It's the same one. It still deserves a lot of hate. But what doesn't deserve a lot of hate, this is to, let's segue off of that, is Star Wars, specifically, this is Tales of the Jedi, this is the Legends. I was reading through the Golden Age of the Sith story arc from the Tales of the Jedi stories. And it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm really enjoying it right now. I've never read these stories before. It's fun seeing
Tales
something.
Of Jedi is so good.
It's really good. Like, the artwork is just so unique and so, like prehistoric, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all the character designs are using, like, these wacky, like, you know, like, Greco-Roman robes. Their lightsabers are connected to their belts for because they have power packs. Like, you've seen a lot of these Sith Lords that I only remember from, like, you know, raiding their tombs in both the KOTOR games. It's a lot of fun. It's, I'm really enjoying this. I'm looking forward to, you know, going through, like, all these story arcs here and seeing how this all culminates here.
Where did they put Golden Age of the Sith? Is that the beginning for you?
That's the beginning of Volume 2. I didn't get Volume 1 because that was, like, the very first, like, was it Dawn of the Jedi?
Okay.
This so one with the Dursima arts. It's not in publication order, it's in timeline order.
Bizarre.
I think.
That's very bizarre.
So
okay.
I have volume 2 here. I also have volume 3, which I'll read after this one.
Because there's Dawn of the Jedi came out in like 2012.
Yeah.
Which is the earliest thing in the Legends time, or in any timeline, really. And then Tales of the Jedi, entirely separate. It's like 20,000 years difference. This is like one of the first Star Wars comics that came out in the 90s. And this has like, it's all separated into different miniseries that string together. So it goes Tales of the Jedi, the Freedonnad Uprising, Dark Lords of the Sith, the Sith War, Golden Age of the Sith, pretty late into it, and then Fall of the Sith. And those are all kind of like together. And then I don't know how far Redemption is the last one. I don't know if that came out much later because the art style is way different.
I think I might have had that in the old Dark Horse omnibus format that I would have I got rid of at some point. I think I made some money on that, but I have never read all those. So
The Marvel omnibus actually for this comes out this I think in July as of right now. And that also it does
all Dark
Horse. It does have the Dawn of the Jedi in that as well. So
I mean, I guess that makes sense because there's only, what, 5 issues of Dawn of the Jedi. They're not just going to leave it, or, if, well, they would, but.
No, Dawn of the Jedi actually had like 15. There were like five issue story arcs.
Yeah, it's like Bogan Prison or something.
Prisoner
like
to the Bogan, Force Storm, Prisoner to Bogan, and then Force War.
Yeah, and then it got Disney bought Star Wars in the middle of it, so it kind of had an unceremonious end, as far as I'm aware. So
yeah, as a lot of legends did.
RIP.
But check out Legends Look Back if you want to hear people talk more about that. they know everything about it. Meanwhile, last week I think I mentioned I started the Last Ronin, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sequel prequel thing. I finished that. It's good. It's a step down, I think, because I don't think either the present or the past storyline got enough space. Like, it should have just been one or the other. But it's still good. I mean, it's Ninja Turtles. It's hard to really mess that up. If you've got turtles hitting people with swords, that's cool. And then I started, or restarted, because I never finished it, Zot by Scott McCloud, which I've read the black and white volume of it a couple years ago. It's genuinely one of the best comics I've ever read. You might know Scott McCloud from his Understanding Comics and Making Comics, nonfiction comics about the craft, but he's done a few actual regular comics as well. And the dude's just super talented. I don't know why more people don't know about Zot. It's just kind of indie. Check it out if you like sort of Flash Gordon, Art Deco style, fun adventures. Anyway, that's what I want. So I'm now reading the Color volume, which actually came before, but we don't need to get into why that is.
All right.
Just looking at this, I'm like, actually, that does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, the dude is an insanely talented artist, and he just like gets comics. Like, he put out a book a couple years ago that I finally read last year called The Sculptor, which, like, I didn't love everything about it, but it's one of those where you read it and you're just like, damn, this guy knows what he's doing, even if I don't necessarily love it. I respect the craft. I feel the same way. I've got a lot of comics I can name about that, but he's just an insanely talented cartoonist.
Very good. Well, I think it's time for us to move on to our main topic of the day. Or one of our
actually, real topics. Quick, oh, wait, there was some news that we skipped over. We can talk about this beforehand. I think we should mention just today, I believe, the Youtini Comic Book Madness.
Oh, yeah.
March Madness tournament with a nail.
I don't know if we've mentioned this at all.
We haven't. It's weird because we're 1 week removed from.
Yeah.
And this was a very in real time event. So we couldn't hype it up.
Yeah, to really quickly catch up, for the month of March, in honor of March Madness, shout out the Boilermakers, hashtag, Final Four. Anyways, the Discord server, mainly run by Timothy, was doing a bracket challenge of this year was comic books. So they had a bunch of comic books from both canon and legends fighting in down to the death, aka people in the community voted their favorite day to day. And the winner this year came down to a nail biter between the High Republic Phase 1 and Charles Soule's 2017 Darth Vader run, and Darth Vader won. Hey, it's a great series. It was a fight of titans, but
yeah, I think that's the matchup most of us expected to be the final. There were some good matches along the way, but Vader's 2017 in my mind is still just like in a class of its own as far as the long running series. Now, there was a whole debate because this is what always happens about Legends versus Canon, because a lot of people haven't read both, so they're just kind of voting for the one they have read.
Yeah, and our server definitely has a more canon slant to it, which is totally fine. But there were a few matchups where like, that's a good comic book, but like, really?
No, and no one's read it. So I can't comment. I know that the KOTOR comic went really far. People really, really like it, but I have not read it. So I abstained from voting in that round. I didn't think it would be fair. I'm glad Vader 2017 won. It's also good for Charles Soule. He got his redemption over Kevin Scott. They met in the finals of last year's Book Madness, with Light of the Jedi versus the Rising Storm, and the Rising Storm came out. So those two are clearly our Discord's favorite writers, it seems.
Yeah, yep. A big winner for March Madness. So,
Yeah, I mistyped the certificates last year. All right, sue me. We don't need to get into that, Youtini lore.
All right. Well, before we screw up Oz anymore, we can go back. And again, we can talk about Star Wars 45, This is Trial of Lando Calrissian, Witness Testimony, written by Charles Soule with art from Madabek Musabekov and colors from Rochelle Rosenberg. Caleb, what happened in this issue?
Well, the Trial of Lando has hit a bit of a speed bump. Mon Mothma has been captured, and the Rebel fleet must be scattered, because she knows the locations and identities of everyone on staff. So despite this setback, the trial continues. Leia is called upon as a character witness, expanding on Lando's initial betrayal of both her and Han. But the defense, Sally Greggio, reminds the court that it was all to save the citizens of Cloud City, an act of loyalty. Meanwhile, the kidnappers have left a hollow note that they have captured Mon Mothma for ransom and will return her for 200 million credits. The Alliance is at an impasse, but then Lando remembers that he heard that voice on the recording before and gives Chewie the information that might just save the rebellion.
Bum, bum, bum. This is a fun issue. I do think it's interesting to see Charles Soule, who is a real life attorney. I don't know that he's practicing. I don't think he practices anymore, but an actual lawyer, write a legal drama in Star Wars.
I was about to say, Charles Soule Esquire, is that the special title?
Yes. No one uses it though, because
do
it
we need to update update your intro for this, Jacob?
No, I've not graduated yet.
All right, we'll get it ready in the can. But no, I mean, I feel like you can just tell he's having fun with this, because it's definitely not your typical Star Wars story. Like, only someone who's really into the legal process would care enough to write something like this.
Well,
it's not like a story that really needed to be told, but it's fun.
Well, you know, you do see a lot of writers like, hey, we're going to write a legal episode like one time, but you can kind of tell they're writing it based off of all the Law and Order they've seen, and not also off of all the real courtroom law they've ever done before.
Well, no, because Charles was also a consultant for She-Hulk, which obviously focused a lot, the TV show, which focused a lot on the law. And then also another Star Wars comics writer, Mark Guggenheim, also an attorney.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. My evidence class did not teach motions, so I'm not entirely sure this is 100% correct, but I think there's a nice little detail in here. I don't know if he did it on purpose, but when the, military prosecutor is talking to Leia, they're retelling the story of Bespin and Cloud City and all this stuff, and the way he, she's like, you know, we left someone behind, he's like, oh, you must be referring to Han Solo. That, I believe, if I, you know, do not disappoint my evidence teacher, is leading the witness.
I was going to say the same thing. Which I have watched a fair amount of Law and Order.
Which is something that Lando's attorney should have called out. Not that it really mattered. He'd have to rephrase it, being like, who did they leave behind? And then she would say, Han Solo. It makes no difference. But the fact that Lando's attorney did not call it out, I think, speaks to her being like an ambulance chaser, which I think is hilarious.
This is why people listen to this show.
Yeah.
We're getting in the weeds here.
Biting legal drama here. But that said, it is nice that, you know, to see like kind of the episode 5, like slightly retold from like a slightly different perspective here. It's definitely a lot of, fun legal drama of like, you know, like when they learn that Mon Mothma has been captured, you know, the defense is instantly like, well, one of the code clearly says that if one of the magistrates is incapacitated, it instantly means a mistrial.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, no, you have to wait for sentencing. So
that's seems like such a specific thing to write into the code. But I mean, you got to plan for one time it happened, I guess, and they codified it.
Right. So, you never know.
But yeah, Caleb, to your point, I love the retelling of episode 5 and Jacob made this comment after it came out that it's not just a shot for shot look at episode 5 like we might see in some other adaptations, but it's actually like, you know, new angles and it comic panels to their advantage. I'm not speaking about anything specific here, just, you know, check this out over how versus how an adaptation should be done.
Especially like I really love the panel with like Lando checking on Han, which I know he does in the movie, but I think just like the way it's framed, I think in the movie it's from like over his shoulder, whereas in this panel we see
sort
his
of like
face.
A passing shot in the movie, like it's not an important thing. We know Lando more now than we did in 1980, and he's a complicated guy. Also, backing up the, I don't know if y'all picked up on this, but they're talking about how Vader planned the dinner and everything specifically, which could, I haven't checked.
It's a Facpov reference.
The Facpov Empire Strikes Back. There's a whole story about the chef who planned that dinner. I doubt there's any specific reference to it here.
Well, that chef's a Deveronian, and I do not see a Deveronian in that panel, so
well,
probably
not.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just cool to sort of see that scene again. And just that's for sickos like us.
Yeah. I also just like love the panel of like Darth Vader like crossed his arms being all sassy, watching people like lay a table out for him.
Yeah. He's the most dramatic. Like, I love when they really show him being Anakin.
Yeah.
Because it is such an absurd setup, that whole Cloud City thing. And they don't really ever talk about that because, I don't know, they don't need to. But, like, this comic is just like, look how stupid this plan was. Like, they could have just grabbed Han when he got off the Falcon. But I guess they were waiting for Luke, I know, but still.
Oz, I do, we kind of talked about some of the comments we made back when this issue came out. I do want to point to one of yours, which was, quote, question. Does Crix Maydeen have the absolute least drip in all of Star Wars, end quote? And I know I'm inclined to say yes, because of all of the, like, you know, 70s sideburns and stash looks we got from both A New Hope and Rogue One, Crix Maydeen is, he's not doing it. He's not doing it
like,
for me.
His haircut isn't, like, the worst, but it's also just so boring. He should be managing Walgreens.
Yeah, like, why is his hair so flat? I realize I'm talking about an actual person here. Mm-hmm. I don't know who the actor is who played Maydeen. Jacob's looking it up right now. And if he's passed, then I apologize to his estate.
It looks like he's still alive. Dermot Crowley. He's age 77 from Ireland.
Okay, oh, that's actually younger than I would have guessed. So he was like a kid when this movie came out. Then, I mean, he was, you know, like 20 or so.
But also remember, hair and makeup also did him. Might have been the one who.
Yeah. I mean, that. I don't know. Some of these people, I think it was just like their natural style. Like, I don't think they gave Lando a costume. That's just what Billy Dee wore to set that day. Yeah. because he's drippy as hell. But every time I see Crix Maydeen, I'm just like, this dude looks so dumb. And I don't know if his hair is a wig or if his beard is fake or if it's just an unfortunate day for him.
And he's just wearing like a blue khaki, like a khaki vest and just a blue button down.
Yeah. And I mean, the artist captured his look from the movies perfectly, because, you know, some people might not recognize him, but it's like, no, if you've seen the movie, this is a spitting image, but in a good way. And yeah, that was just what he's on, like, the second page. And I was like, OK, he's in the first panel, basically. When I saw him, I was like, yeah, he looks dumb. So I had to share that with everyone.
Well, it's weird because, like, I feel like this artist has a tendency to, I'm going to say, yassify some characters, like especially Luke Skywalker, and then you just have Crix Maydeen. He's there. But I guess we should talk a little bit about the whole Mon Mothma plot we have going on towards the end, where she has been kidnapped. He, like, mentions that, Lando mentions that he knows who they've been kidnapped by. It's a really vicious gang. The Scarabi Mercs. Which I looked up, that it's not a Legends reference as far as I can tell. Because you always got to check that.
First thing I did.
Yeah. I'm assuming, I guess this is going to, like, Chewbacca's going to tell them, and they're like, Lando, we don't like you, but there's only one person for this job, and we got to have you go bust out Mon Mothma right now. Even though Luke Skywalker's on the cover of the next issue. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, we had a Stormtrooper on the cover of this issue.
Yeah.
And Boba Fett.
And Darth Vader was on the cover of last issue, so, you know.
Boba Fett did appear in flashbacks.
Right, yeah. So I guess that's, I mean, that the cover is, I guess, the carbonite scene.
Yeah.
Supposed to be, which is sort of weird to do on the cover of this, where that's a flashback. But as for the Mon Mothma stuff, I mean, I remember when we talked about the last issue, I was like, I really wish we'd seen more of what Mon Mothma's original mission was, because she just sort of FaceTimed in while she was having this exciting shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got captured. And now we get to see a little bit of the Pathfinders. They've got a Nautilin. I don't know if that's a character we know, but I love Nautilin. It's good to see him. But
good to see Cass. We got Cass Dameron again. Cass Dameron watch here.
Yeah. Poe's dad, for those who can't add two and two, or haven't read Shattered Empire, go read Shattered Empire. It's good.
I mean, he was also in this run a decent amount, too. Yeah. So it's just been a while.
Which, Poe is alive, right?
Yes, he was a baby, because there's like a scene where Kes is looking at his hologram,
yeah,
talking to Leia back in like issue 11, I think.
Yeah, okay.
He's back on Yavin right now, I think. Or
yeah,
maybe. I don't know.
I love seeing Kes. I wish we'd see more Shara Bay, because I absolutely love Shara Bay.
She like, it was so weird how she like just disappeared for like 10 issues while being, you know, on an Imperial ship for a while.
On a That's Star Destroyer, bizarre. Yeah.
We just forgot about her from, actually, maybe longer than 10 issues.
Yeah.
Because we had to do Ward of Bounty Hunters.
Oh, right. Yeah, all the crossovers, Shara got lost. But yeah, we got the Pathfinders here. And then, Caleb, I had the exact same thought of Dr. Evil when they're like, ask for 200 million credits or whatever. Because credits in Star Wars are made up.
It's so arbitrary.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, you know, it's like, okay, like, it's not dollars. It's not one-to-one with dollars, obviously. But, like, in certain contexts, it is. I feel like it's, like, on a weird, like, logarithmic scale. Like, you know, 10 credits is, like, is just, like, pocket change. You know, 1,000 credits is a lot of money. Like, 1,000,000 credits must be billions of U.S. dollars, yeah, or something like that.
What I always go to is, I think Luke and Obi-Wan hire out Han for 10,000 credits. And Luke says, I could basically buy my own ship for that. Yeah, but who are you going to get to fly it, kid? Look, I'm really good at impressions. But then I'm like, 10,000 credits, that's a lot of money if you can buy a ship for it.
Okay, so, yeah.
So, like, what? I don't know.
I just love this is like a throwback to War of the Bounty Hunters again, where I think is Han sold for maybe 2 million credits? Is either 1 million or 2 million? And they're like, we can never tell Han Solo that he sold for that many credits.
Oh, yeah,
with such a big ego. And then here's Mon Mothma for 200 million credits or whatever.
Well, yeah, but I feel like they are kind of Dr. Eviling here, and that they're just like saying as big of a number as they can. Or maybe they're dead serious. I don't know. But I feel like they don't really intend to give her back.
Exactly. Now, the weird thing is, like, we also got another thing with money. It's like the lawyer showed off how much assets Lando had. It's like, look, he had this much money but didn't run, but we didn't get that much money, the idea of how much money he had. Like, you know, how much money is it to run away to space Tahiti and never poke your head up again? Is it, you know, 10 million credits? Is that enough to run away and never, you know, have to work again?
Speaking on his money and running away and all this, so next issue's cover is Luke Skywalker on a mission. The issue after that is Lando playing Sabacc, with all the cards having like the different main characters on them. What are the odds he plays the hand of Sabacc to win back the rebellion?
I'd say solid.
Like 60% odds, yeah.
Yeah.
It might be metaphorical, but like, you know, he is good at cards, so.
What's the game, What's the lying game that he plays in one of his books, or one of the, where there's no like cards or anything, they just look at each other and tell a lie or something like that.
Was that from Last Shot?
It might be, or maybe one of those Chasing the Millennium.
Are you talking about The Hobbit?
No.
What's in my pocket?
No, whatever. This was a stupid thing to bring up because, of course, y'all didn't know it, so. Skip this. We're going to move on from that reference. Anyway, yeah, he's probably just going to play Sabacc.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on this issue?
I was about to say, Spock-like credits has never actually been defined.
No, there's rules. There's rules. There's a few different... The problem is there's a few different versions of Sabacc. Like, there's poker, so it can, you know, it depends on what type they're playing. Are they playing Corellian Spike Sabacc?
Right.
More depends
on what Ryder wants Spock to line up being. Yeah.
And now I bet the most definitive version is probably also like credits from the West End Games books from back in the day. That seems to usually be the case.
I know John Jackson Miller made up a card game, I think, for his Canto Bight story. He just now made a rule set for it this year. So, you know, more welcome Star Wars
to,
card games.
Welcome back to Star Wars, John Jackson Miller. The Living Force comes out next week. Everyone get hype.
It'll already be out by the time you listen to this. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun issue. Yeah, any other thoughts on it?
It does have might be considered a cheesy ending here, a full splash page of Lando resigning himself but saying, I am a rebel, which does seem like it could be a little bit a little groan inducing, a little cheesy here, but I really do like that kind of him finally embracing his arc here, because a lot of these Star Wars comics, they do kind of have a problem with these established characters in that it's hard for them to do a character arc, because we've already know where the character will wind up, because we've all seen episode 6 a dozen times. But I feel like this 2020 run has done a good job showing Lando from opportunistic scoundrel to he will be General Calrissian at the start of episode 6. I feel like we've seen a really good character arc and character growth from his more selfish, self-contained notion to a member who's fully bought in on the rebellion.
I do want to point out, because you mentioned that panel of him laying down at the end, there's a nice little parallel. Issue 45 at the end, he's looking good, he has shaved down to the mustache, has his military uniform on or whatever, and at the start of issue 44 he's laying down in PJs with a scruffy beard, having been in detainment after giving himself up or whatever. So it's kind of looks like I had a little mindset shift from between issues or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just he really does have one of the better character arcs throughout any of the ongoing comics. I know he's a main character, but other than Aphra or maybe even Vader, you can tell that this is Charles Soule's favorite character just because of how much screen time he's got. I mean, I think Lobot's his favorite character, but
true,
and who's also gotten a lot of screen time. I'm excited to see how this ends up. I know that this is sort of the end of this mini arc, but it's definitely going to spill into the next trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, speaking of the next trade,
real quick,
okay,
I found it, and actually, it's more relevant than I thought it was. It is a game called Click Clack, which naturally is from a certain point of view. Mm-hmm. Lando's story in the first one, written by Charles Soule. It is a game, and it has also appeared in Tempest Runner. So he shared it with Kevin Scott, I guess.
There we go.
But, it's a game where I think you just tell lies back and forth, or something like that. You just look at one card, and that's kind of it. You just guess if you have high card, but you have a whole conversation about whether or not you're lying. So I think there's actually Sabacc makes more sense, but I think there's a chance we could see some Click Clack in this upcoming arc.
There we go. You never know. Might have to reread that one. So
yeah.
In the meantime, this episode is brought to you by The Living Force. Not The Living Force, actually. The Utini Show, the brand new podcast from Utini, starring the hosts of The Living Force, Eric, Charles, Wes, and Corey. They've dragged him back into this one. They are all here to talk about not just Star Wars, although we're starting off with a little Star Wars this week with their coverage of the prequels, but whatever they really feel like. It's a nice little variety show. It is on YouTube and your favorite podcast app every Monday. It'll currently be launching simultaneously in the old Living Force feed, but make sure you subscribe to the new Utini Show feed so you catch all those episodes in the future. It's the video production is really solid if you want to check that out on the main Utini channel on YouTube. But it's a lot of fun seeing the boys back together. I know for me, Living Force is kind of a lot of how I got more into the Star Wars fandom. So seeing that same crew back talking about whatever it is, whether it's Star Wars or Dune or Formula One or I don't know, Eric losing yet another year in fantasy football, I'm sure it's gonna be a great time. So be sure to check out the Utini Show every Monday on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. All right, so Caleb, give us a little nice little teaser, nice little segue into our final topic of the day, and that is the future of Star Wars comics. Are they ending? I don't know. Hot takes abound. But we got some solicitations for the Star Wars Volume 9 trade paperback and the Darth Vader Volume 10 trade paperback. They're offset for some reason. I guess one issue, one of them collected fewer issues along the way. Because they both end with 46 through 50 of their respective run and half of the free comic book day issue. And in the solicitation, it talks about basically coming to an end as we near Return of the Jedi. So I don't know if 50 is the end, but it is really close. We are finally reaching the end of the post-Empire Strikes Back journey. Boys, how do you feel? It's been 4 years now, so
how do you feel? It's weird because that's almost as long as we've been doing this show, you know?
It is longer than we've been doing this show. We hopped on like about, we hopped on, I think, 2021, yeah. April or so. So, yeah.
It's also, I mean, that's almost as long as the first run, although I guess that went to 75 issues. Mm-hmm. So not quite, but I'm ready for it. I've loved this Star Wars run by Charles Soule, and, you know, Vader fans are always eating if they like Vader comics, but I'm ready for something new, whatever that's going to be, who knows.
Yeah,
like I'm a little bummed. I feel like I still like this era a lot. You know, I love Lando as a character. I really am digging his character arc throughout this whole series. So part of me is like, you know, like, oh, we'll get 75 with the last one. Surely we can do 75 with this one. But you know, I feel like we should trust the writers here, and if they feel like, you know, 50 issues is what they got in them, let's just give them 50 issues, and then. You know, it's not like Charles Soule is going to be doing something else with his time. He's way too into Star Wars stuff for him to stop writing Star Wars. So I'm sure he'll jump to like some other project that he's more passionate about and really wants to write. So like I couldn't imagine writing 50 months of comics and still having that same like absolute drive for like, you know, and not getting like distracted by something else that you want to do. So I mean, it's definitely a they said I could definitely eat more of this, but you know, I think it makes sense to kind of end on a nice like even number like 50 and then, you know, see where it goes from here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you that I would like the Star Wars book to keep going just because it feels like there's a lot more that could be done with these main characters. I know, Jacob, you might mention the timeline's getting a little full. This calendar is busy. 3 ABY, lots happened there. But a lot of it was also hijacked by these crossover events, which I know were Charles Soule's story. So I imagine that even if they weren't crossovers, those stories still would have happened in this run. Yeah. Like, I think there's more that could be done. I'm ready to move on from Vader, maybe entirely. Like, I don't know if it's probably not a hot take in this room.
Right.
Let's go a little while without a Darth Vader comic.
Yeah, I agree that there's, I think, more story that could be told in Star Wars. I think we are up there on issues, just like for, again, the amount of time we're dealing with. Not that I think that should really dictate the story itself to a large degree, but, I mean, we still have to have Luke build his lightsaber, and that's probably not going to happen until, you know, at least issue 48 with the upcoming stories about this Mon Mothma thing, so... Not a whole lot of time for this to really occur, and it's, you know, free comic book day. He still has a yellow lightsaber on that cover. Not the covers mean anything in comic books, let's be real. But yeah, I think I'm ready for something different. I think I could be okay staying in this era for a little bit longer if we still had Bounty Hunters and Dr. Aphra, but now that those are over, it's like, I mean, I'm kind of just waiting for this whole thing to drop, really.
Yeah, it does feel like we're kind of circling the end of this era because they ended those books back in January and haven't announced anything to fill the gap, even though we're pretty sure there's something coming. Just
like they've teased it. They've both ended on like, hey, like we're bringing these characters back. Like they will come back, but they just haven't announced anything, which is a little strange.
At least one of those two books ended with like the end question mark or like the end for now, Aphra. Yeah.
Aphra definitely ended up with an epilogue there. Now, one thing I do want to bring up is I just quickly looked back, and when a 2015 issue series ran, again, this podcast wasn't going on, so I really wasn't covering it too much. Like, the 2015 era ended, and then the next month, 2020 started. Like, January 1st, 2020 was when Star Wars issue 1 came out.
Yeah. So, I think it helped that, like, we had, like, it was the main line was doing something like Journey to Hoth or something, like, it was some sort of tagline like
that.
They
were doing that countdown.
And then Destination Hoth or something like that. And then we had the Empire Ascendant one shot as well to kind of wrap everything up. And as far as we know, we don't know anything of that happening yet. I guess we still have time.
But what was nice about that era is that, like, the Darth Vader run only went 25 issues.
Yep.
And then they just were like, all right, let's tell a totally different Vader story, and we'll tell Vader's story here and there. He'll either show up in Star Wars or in Dr. Aphra. We didn't really get anything like that this time around. It was kind of these four books the whole time up until these last few months. Yeah. But I don't really see an Empire Ascendant thing happening, mostly because we just got Revelations.
Right.
Now, what could be interesting is if they both end at 50, and I don't know if those... Do those hit the same month, the 250s?
They'd be...
In line?
We are, yeah, because Darth Vader 45 comes out next week, or when you're listening to this now, so...
I mean, they could maybe then follow it up with, like, I know there's the free comic book day one shot, but then maybe like a 5-issue miniseries that sort of combines all these sort of plot lines and takes us into the next era. Now, then there's the question is the next era that they jump into post Return of the Jedi?
So we talked about this, I think, in an episode like in December or January. And I think everyone's assumption online is that that is the case, but I have been saying for months now that I think that's too, people are putting way too much weight into that assumption, where a lot of the publishing initiative seems to be pushed, like, publishing, I guess, momentum for books and comics has been pushing towards prequels for a while now.
Yeah.
Like Brotherhood, Rise of the Red Blade, Padawan, The Living Force, Glass of
Infinity,
Mace Windu, and Jango Fett miniseries. Yeah. There's so much momentum, especially with the Phantom Menace anniversary this year, heading towards that era, that I would not be shocked if we get some ongoing set somewhere in the prequel era. I think not Clone Wars, just because that's a pretty saturated time right now.
Yeah.
But could we get a, like, Legends Republic style line? I don't think it's out of the question.
Now, I would love that.
I would think it would be good, too. I'm just surprised. I'm, like, a little surprised that they haven't announced anything like that. Maybe they want this issue to end first before they try to start taking hype away from it. So maybe they'll end it. And then once people are like, so what's next? Then they announce it instead of announcing it now and having people stop caring about Vader and Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, we do have May the 4th, San Diego Comic-Con, and your Comic-Con within, like, the next 6 months. So they got time. But...
Yeah. Now, I was about to say, maybe they'll, who knows, maybe this will be Star Wars 2024/2025. They'll just call it Star Wars again, but just have it as in the episode one time frame here.
Oh, that's definitely what it would be.
I would like that. I feel like they would maybe give it a subtitle, but it would be great. I mean, Charles Soule, I think his first Star Wars comic,
Obi-Wan and Anakin. Or no, Lando was before that.
It was Lando.
Okay. Oh, you're right. You're right. Anyway, so his second one was Obi-Wan and Anakin. It takes place in between The Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. It's one of very few stories. The first canon story to take place in that gap. And God help my sanity if they could get Marco Cicchetto to come back.
Oh, my God.
He's busy drawing Ultimate Spider-Man right now. But I could see Soule sort of doing a run that kind of follows up on that. I don't really remember anything about that story.
It's a dope issue or miniseries. It's like basically they crash land on like a steampunk planet, snowy planet, and these people don't understand the outside galaxy and they think Sith are good guys.
Yeah. So cool stuff. So not necessarily like directly following that story, but like just basically like the Clone Wars, but set 10 years earlier or so, where we see mainly Obi-Wan and Anakin, but kind of like this Lando thing where, like, maybe we'll get, you know, a two issue about Ki-Adi Mundi or whatever.
I think it also probably, like, because we all know that Darth Vader is like a sales juggernaut. I think having a, because, like, there's no more Darth Vader stories after the Darth Vader's dead after this.
Yeah, unless
it's
like a
Force Ghost
where he lives. Yeah. He lives old adventures.
I think they will probably eventually just keep doing Vader miniseries until the end of time. But at the very least, I feel like an Anakin story could maybe help plug that sales gap that Darth Vader would leave behind.
Yeah. Or they, you know, like we had Aphra in Star Wars set in the 1ABY times, they could then have like a Vader series going, do this Obi-Wan and Anakin thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we've got to wonder about, jumping back to the prequels makes sense, but then where does that leave Aphra and Bounty Hunters?
Like, I don't know. I feel like they would still, like, they'll have like one or two series continuing after that. I feel like maybe they'll just, like, break the timeline, like, hey, we no longer have to have all of our series is happening in the same time frame.
Which would also cut back on the crossovers, praise the Lord.
Hey, Vector was a thing in Legends, so don't...
Yeah, okay. but yeah, so maybe we get a... maybe it'll be called Aphra and the Bounty Hunters, just like one book that's set post-Return of the Jedi that's probably not touching on mainline stuff, like you're not going to see the big three much. Sort of a side story set 4-ish ABY. Then a Star Wars 24 set prequel-ish. Mm-hmm. And then no Darth Vader, Marvel.
I was about to say, I'm sorry, when you said Aphra and the Bounty Hunters, I kept, that sounded like a band, you know? Like,
it just does sound like
counts,
a band. Yeah, dude, you just came up with a great variant cover right there. Like, do them up like Josie and the Pussycats. I love it.
Or the I was imagining like the Scooby Doo, like the Hex Girls from like the early 2000s, just like the Afro crew doing that.
Really specific references for these
hyper characters. Specific. The girl, the girls that know. So you know, I'm excited for whatever Star Wars Comics does next. I'm sure it'll be fun.
I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about.
Great for our show. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked for 20 minutes about total hypotheticals, so we'll find anything.
15, that's fine.
Okay, yeah.
Get that content going.
Any other final thoughts, predictions, memories of Star Wars comics?
just in general?
Yeah,
I remember about Star Wars comics?
Yeah.
We got a few minutes left. No, I'm excited for the end of this. Finales are great. Whatever that looks like, I think at least this will go out on a bang. I know that we're not the biggest on Pox Vader run, but it does some cool stuff, and I have a feeling that it's going to end with something cool. Hopefully it doesn't end with, like, Sabe becoming
the
Emperor.
They got a collision course for Exegol, so...
Yeah, we're going back to Exegol, which is rad. Maybe we'll see the Eye of Webbish Bog again. I don't know.
For sure.
It could be anything.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, it's been fun. Can't wait to see what's next with Star Wars comics. Speaking of what's next week, we got three issues coming out. We have Darth Vader 45, The High Republic number 6, and Alliances number 4, the finale. But that'll be it. Just a reminder, this week is brought to you by the Utini Show. Almost said Living Force again. But check it out every Monday. Charles, Corey, Wes, and Eric talking about whatever they feel like this week. It's the prequels. But that'll do it for this week's episode of The Cosmic Force. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're looking for other great podcasts about Star Wars, nerd culture, and sports, be sure to check out the rest of our lineup in the Utini Podcast Network. We'd also appreciate it if you leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to us. If you're already a proud member of the United on Patreon, thank you so much. An extra special thank you goes to Brian Dooley, Carl Sander, Michael Fry, and Raymond Bazinski on our High Council, and Captains James T., Ashley Ingalls, Clinton Fife, Chris Carrizo, and Sailing Chris Eilerson for all their amazing support. Head on over to Discord, where we're continuing the conversation about this week's issues in the SW Comics channel. A huge shout out to our editor Kyle for all of his excellent work in getting us to your feed so quickly, and thanks to Wes, as always, for the Utini Network support. Thanks as always to you, our fantastic listeners. That's it for us this week. May the Force be with you, and we will catch you next time.